Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be made whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Acts. The next day the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, and with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners, Peter and John, stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that you that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or a sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we shall believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the good shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
I have a niece living in Chicago, and Mandy called her parents this week a couple times in South Dakota. She called them on Monday and said, good news, I just got called into the boss's office and I was given a huge promotion. Now she is the vice president of something or other at the marketing firm that she works for in Chicago. The next day, she called her parents again. She had flown to New York on Tuesday morning for a business meeting, and her boyfriend, who lives in Washington, D.C., had driven to New York to meet her, and he told her his good news, that he had been given a transfer from the Washington, D.C. legal office to the Chicago legal office. So she was very happy, so she had called her parents again. More good news. Wednesday morning, she called them back, and she said, more good news. Last night, when Kevin and I were walking to dinner, it was a business dinner that they were attending, and Kevin was going with her. As they were walking down Madison Avenue, his shoe came untied, and he bent down to tie his shoe and came up with a ring and asked Mandy to be his wife. Of course, my brother and his wife knew that already, because Kevin had called the day before and asked for Mandy's hand. My brother thought that was quite endearing, that that a young man, a modern boy man, I guess, he's 32 years old, that he would ask permission to. So Mandy had called her parents with good news on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and she said, and now I'm going out to buy a lottery ticket. I'm having a good week of good luck. So do you believe in good luck? Rabbi Kirshner wrote a book a number of years ago, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Maybe you remember that book. And in there he says that God does not will bad things to happen to people. When bad things happen, he says, it's just lousy luck. The world is like a big roulette wheel. And when your number's up, your number's up. And nothing is meant by the good or the bad things that happen. It just is a matter of chance. It just happens. I think that's pretty harsh. Kind of tough to think of the world like that. A Christian author about 10 years ago wrote a book called Luck, A Secular Faith. And Wayne Oates, in this writing, says that modern people don't really believe in a God in a way that there is a God who cares and directs and guides people. He said what modern people believe in is luck. And luck is a way that we have of explaining ourselves and explaining what is happening to us, what comes our way. I know that Las Vegas is a favorite city for a lot of people. Las Vegas, the city of lights, the city of sin, the city of luck. Well, I heard on the news this last week that Las Vegas has the highest foreclosure rate in the nation. So now Las Vegas, the city of squash dreams rather than a city of good luck. I don't think that anyone really believes that they can strike it rich by playing the lottery. But even the most educated and successful people feel that maybe there's a chance, and we like that idea of getting something for nothing, even though there are ridiculous odds against us. It seems that we all want to take that chance. I don't think that anybody that walks into a casino, well, at least not the people that built the casinos or the people that own the casinos, they're not the ones putting their money on the table or dropping their money into the slot machines, because they know, they can tell you down to the penny what your odds are of really winning or your chances of winning anything. Maybe this is why the word luck is not found in the Bible. The word luck is not in scriptures. And in a way, this seems pretty odd, because the people of the ancient world, who were the moderns of the day when the scriptures were being written, were very suspicious people, superstitious, very superstitious. They were always attributing things to the fates, those three women that sat on a mountaintop or in the heavens or wherever, spinning out the fate of humanity. And if the thread would break, some evil thing would happen to some poor bloke on the earth. But it was all a matter of chance, all a matter of fate. One of the authors of the day, Homer, said that life, that we are the mere playthings of the gods. It's all a matter of fate and chance. There isn't anything that we can do. It just happens. That seems pretty harsh too, doesn't it? I noticed lately when I've listened to the news, I get this, the traffic reports in the morning. I don't have a commute, but it's part of my daily routine to listen to that morning news, and they tell you where the traffic snarls are. And they say, you know, don't go on the East 8 because there is a wreck. Or don't go on the 163 because there is a crash. And I thought, whatever happened to talking about traffic accidents? And then I started thinking about it. Well, if you're roaring down the freeway at 90 miles an hour, talking on your cell phone, and you crash into somebody, it's not really an accident, is it? But they don't use that. Insurance companies don't use that word anymore, because it's not an accident. But is it luck? I think one of the reasons that we talk about luck and that we like that is that it gives us an easy out. We don't have anything to do with it. It absolves us of all responsibility. It was just good luck or bad luck. Maybe the fates were in our favor. It was just the luck of the draw. We talk about being lucky or unlucky, but it isn't in the Bible. You won't find anything about luck or chance. What you will find in the Bible is God. God, who is moving and caring and loving and acting. What you will find in the Bible is providence. God, who is protecting and loving and guiding and giving us direction. We just heard beautiful readings. The Sunday is called Good Shepherd Sunday or Shepherd Sunday. Our readings talked about that providence, that God who protects and guides, that God who cares for and directs. The hymn that we sang, the 23rd Psalm, ends with that great, beautiful image. The Lord is my shepherd. He guides and creates, leads, calms, protects. And the last line, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. King David was probably the author of the 23rd Psalm, probably wrote it in Hebrew. And a better word in Hebrew to translate that we translate to follow, mercy and goodness will follow me, a better word would be pursue. Mercy and goodness pursues me. I love this image. God is in hot pursuit of you. God is pursuing you, chasing you, after you, running, no matter how fast you're running in your day, no matter how hectic your steps are, God is in pursuit of you, pursuing you with His mercy and love and guidance and care. When I'm running every which way, nearly out of breath, there is God pursuing me, following me, keeping up with me with every step that I take. And you too. God is in pursuit of you. And God will not give up the chase. God will not stop the race. God is with us every step of the way. Laurel could probably give us a great example of running the race, of being there for the long haul, of going the distance. She's a cross-country track and field star. And this kind of running, imagine that, with God right there every step. God is pursuing us with that kind of determination. You know the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis? Joseph with his brothers. The truth is, his dad always did like him best. And his brothers were very jealous of him. So jealous, in fact, that they plotted against him to get rid of this brother that dad doted on. So they sold him to be a slave. And he ended up in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. And when famine struck in David's homeland, his brothers and his family needed to leave that homeland to go someplace to look for food. They didn't know that their brother, that they thought was probably dead by now, was in charge of the storehouse, in charge of food distribution. You think your family is dysfunctional? Imagine this. Here comes the brothers begging for food, and this brother that they thought was dead is in charge of the storehouse. What's going to happen? They thought for sure that they would be punished, that they deserved punishment for those mean things that they had done to their brother. But Joseph tells them not to fear. And then there's this great line. Joseph says, "You meant all of this for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph's brothers thought that they were doing him evil, but they were not the only ones who were acting. They were doing bad things, but God, our God of surprises, who turns everything upside down, had meant it for good. God was there with His mercy and protection, with His goodness and His grace, turning evil into God's good purposes. They sold Joseph into slavery, and God used that. God used that action. Now Joseph is in Egypt. And that position that Joseph had allowed the family of God, the people of God, the Israelites, to exist, to not starve to death. God used the evil of the brothers to save His special people. This is a story about providence, the majestic hand of God working in our lives when we thought it was all up to us. When those brothers thought they had a plan, God had a plan too. There is no such thing as luck. What there is providence. What there is God's care and guidance. Now, it's easier to look into our past, look back, and see the care and the guidance that was there. It's easier to look back and see that than it is to see God's hand in our current or in this moment, in the present. It's often difficult to speak of God's work in our lives right today. It's easier to look at the rearview mirror and reflect on how God has been a part of our life. It's a very important thing to do, to remember our past and to reflect on that and see how God has been a part of our life in the past. I know a lot of people really like that footprints in the sand, that story about the person walking along the beach. This is my life. I'm walking along the beach and I look back and see the footprints in the sand. And there's two sets of footprints and I say, oh God, thank you for walking next to me through my life. But I also notice there's a times in my life when there's only one set of footprints. And why did you abandon me, God? And God says, no, no, no. That's when I carried you. I was carrying you in those times, not abandoning you. And we can see that when we look back, when we look into our past and see where's God's hand been in our life in the past. It's only with eyes of faith that we can see that. So we say good luck to somebody when we really should be saying, God be with you. God go with you. Remember, you are not alone. It's not a matter of luck. It's a matter of remembering that God is in hot pursuit with mercy and goodness and kindness. Today's scriptures do not tell of a God who is distant and uninvolved. But God is the good shepherd who directs and cares and guides. God is the good shepherd who is guiding us and leading us, pursuing us beyond our wants, beyond our needs, leading us to life. God, the good shepherd, is in hot pursuit of you.